be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry.
Thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. The topic of today's show is, and I quote, even though I'm quoting myself, but nonetheless, and I quote, so, aside from dealing with peer pressure, teenage sexual pressure, academic pressure, learning issues, eating issues, and hormone fluctuations, is being a teenager really that hard? Mental Health Matters, as you know, is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex, and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. This week, we will highlight the issues associated with teenage life in 2010. As we discuss the topic, you, the audience, can call in and ask questions or weigh in on the subject. The number at which to reach us today is 649-9737, 649-9737, and that's area code 804. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all the other past shows, and I promise to update my website to get all of them back up there and to make sure I do get all of them archived. But by this evening, all of them will be archived. And if you log on to my website, which you can get through by logging on to WRIR's website, you can get the information and get to where it's archived. Also, I am so happy to send you a link to my site. Also, if you email me, I would love to hear your thoughts. I would like to hear your comments, your questions, and your suggestions for a future show. So email me at UR, those are the letters, UR, mentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. That's all one word. Okay, so now I would like to introduce my guest this week. Her name is Valerie Keating, and she's the director of school counseling at a local school division. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Gail.
I want to reiterate the title of the show, which is, so, aside from dealing with peer pressure, teenage sexual pressure, academic pressure, learning issues, eating issues, and wild hormone fluctuations, is being a teenager really that hard? And let me say something, Valerie. While I really know that there are millions of wonderful teenagers, and I particularly, and I've said this before on the show, I like watching kids wrestle with this stage of development, and it can provide those who love them much joy. But you can garner from the title of today's show that I also believe that adolescence is a tumultuous time of life. And since you are really in the trenches every day, can you tell us what you think the biggest issues are for high school students?
Yes. Well, I think that the key was in today's world. You were a kid, I was a kid, and I think that kids are kids. They're dealing with the same kinds of issues, but they're magnified and they're publicized and they can spread so much more. So while they're dealing with the same kind of issues, negotiating for independence, self-awareness, identity, relationships, it's magnified because sometimes through social media, the internet, it's literally out there for the world to see. And that can further sometimes the typical adolescent tendency towards impulsivity can be furthered because we want to react right away. And literally at their fingertips, they can react sometimes to text messaging and cell phones and calling their friends. And who are they reacting to? But peers. So they're reacting to another adolescent. And sometimes I think there's less opportunity for reflection, for consulting with someone older or wiser, talking with mom, talking with dad. So it's magnified because the world can see it. It can spread because of that social media text messaging. People can forward what was going on. So instead of kind of those typical he said, she said things that we get into sometimes, it becomes a they heard, they said, they spread. And that's why I think that these teen issues kind of can snowball. And there's not not as many opportunities for parents to step in at the early stages to say, hang on, let's think about this. Let's sleep on this. And that's why that communication is so important. Kids aren't that different in today's world, but what's different is that media and the medium in which we're dealing with it.
You know, I have to say that that is the most cogent response to my conundrum. I have this this quandary in my head where I say, high school was hard. There was a lot of bad stuff going on in high school. I mean, personally, the high school I went to, there was so much rampant drug use. I mean, I grew up in the 70s, and I grew up in the 60s and in the early 70s, and sexuality was all over the place. So what you just said was so cogent, is that because kids are so impulsive, having all those things at their fingertips doesn't give them any time where they have to stop before they act.
Exactly.
I'm talking to Valerie Keating, and we're talking about the kinds of pressures that teenagers deal with today. And if you would like to talk or ask her a question, she's the head of school counseling at a local school district. Please call us at 649-9737. So tell me some of the specific kinds of issues and problems that kids are dealing with. Tell me what you see on a daily basis.
So I think one of the biggest things is that negotiating for independence. And we want this. We want our students, our kids, to become that we want them to be self-motivated. We want them to be advocates for themselves. But it's this struggle with parents sometimes, with maybe with teachers, with peers, about what is too much, and then having these adolescent reactions, and then, you know, maybe blasting it on Facebook, being impulsive and reacting to something so publicly. And that's when things get kind of more out of control. Some of the specifics also, I think there are a lot of academic pressures right now, and for the wrong reason. You know, being a great person or being a successful person, being a happy person, first of all, we need to qualify all of those things. What does success mean for yourself and in your family? And are those congruent with one another necessarily? And it doesn't mean that you're only successful if you go to XYZ college. It's not enough to just go there. I mean, you save the tuition, go buy a sweatshirt and the sticker for your car. But what it means is going to a college where you're happy, or finding a career path and things where you're doing good things for your community and you find fulfillment also for yourself.
I do think that's interesting, because the other day my daughter and her friend were at my house, and I said to them, I applied to one college by hand.
Right.
I wrote out the application, asked my mother for the check and the stamp, and put it in the mail. And, you know, there is this pressure, and there's this bizarre kind of focus on that there's one right place for kids. And I think it's perpetrated by the adults in their life. Do you think parents are doing a good job? What do you think parents are missing?
I think parents are doing a great job. I think this is the hardest job ever. What they're missing might be this idea that, again, there's one right answer, or that you're alone, because you're not in any way. The best parents are the ones who are absolutely plugged in. I think that sometimes I get misunderstood for encouraging parents to help their children to be independent and to be self-advocates, that I'm saying, get out of here. You know, no parts of you. But really what we need is, let's consult, come to the adult. One of my favorite parents saw that a student was having some difficulty in a class, and she started to have some inklings of, oh, it might not just be the content here. Something's going on in the dynamics of that classroom, but didn't lead on to the student necessarily that she was thinking that, because she knows that, you know, she's dealing with an adolescent who might misinterpret that. Mom's not saying that your teacher's a wild yahoo, but rather something else is going on. So mom calls me, we talk things through, can look into it and say, you know what, this there needed to be some intervention as far as mentoring a teacher, or mentoring the student group as well. I used to work with student groups, and I would say to them all the time, you're not alone in this. And I feel that parents are the same way.
You know, it's a balance, just like so many other things are a balance, because for me, as the parent of older children and then a parent of a 16-year-old, my friends will say to me on a regular basis, you know what, I'm going to tell you this story in a minute because we actually have a caller.
Oh, okay.
This is Gail Moskowitz. You're on Mental Health Matters. Do you have a question for Ms. Keating?
Yes, I do. I'd like to know, what are the positive aspects of social networking for teenagers?
That's a wonderful question. And how about if you hang up and I'll let Valerie answer you on the air? Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, great. I think that is a great question, because if it were bad, I wouldn't be out there either. But I think it's a great tool that absolutely we have to be aware of. You know, we can't just shut off the computer and say, you're not going to go out there, you're not going to. It doesn't teach a lesson. So what is it that we're trying to teach our kids? Live by the golden rule. Be kind, be good, treat others well, and be engaging and interesting. So I think some of the positive aspects could be that it might be a better tool to help you stay connected also, that your children can stay connected. I like it when I see that, you know, kids are staying in communication with maybe older friends who graduated, kids from summer camp, and share appropriate pictures and updates about things that are going on. All of the ways that perhaps you would want to use that in your life. We've got to keep it, we got to keep this check on it, though. When I worked at a university advising student groups, I used to give them this barometer. Would you share with your grandmother what you did last night? So the, you know, new version of that is, would you friend your grandmother on Facebook? Would you want her to see those pictures that you're putting up there? What you said about so-and-so, what you're blasting about? And sometimes it's just silly, inane stuff, but think about, what does that say about you also? Is cereal really the greatest thing in your life right now?
It would be nice.
Right? And because what we've got to think about also is, we hear about, and I really truly believe, that college admissions officers are Googling you, and they can look at your Facebook and your MySpace page. Future employers are doing the same thing. And it's not to say that the social media is bad. I think this is just the new version of what we were always told, be careful about what your reputation is. Well, now the whole world can see your reputation.
So really what you're saying, and I think it's a good answer, is that you like the part where kids are communicating with one another and staying in touch with one another. And that gives you pleasure to watch, and it's a good thing for kids.
Absolutely.
But just like anything else, if you share too much, if you put yourself out there inappropriately, if you give information to people they shouldn't have, it's a way of learning boundaries. And mm-hmm. I also heard you say that it should be a way in which to teach the golden rule.
Yes.
So now back to my thought before, which is what I was saying to you, that being the parent of a 16-year-old, I feel like I've been in control of when and how much.
Uh-huh.
And then I let her be in control of what, because
right.
I believe I've taught her what. But my daughter didn't have a Facebook page when she was 13 years old, because there's no reason for a 13-year-old
right.
to have a Facebook page. My daughter didn't have texting when she was 13, because she needed me to sort of move along with her. And then, so I had a lot of my friends saying that I wasn't letting her grow up, and I felt like I was trying to keep her from growing up too quickly.
I absolutely agree. And that's my biggest fear. I think being a grown-up is not all it's cracked up to be, first of all. I mean, because you want to let her grow up, then let her pay her own bills too, right? Not necessarily, not ready for that, all in good time. So let's let her be a kid. When you control when and how much, what I think the bridge then, especially in high school, is engaging her in the conversation of why behind that when and how much. So, and modeling it also. I'll have parents who come to me and say, she was on the cell phone at 4:00 in the morning. What do I do? Well, you take the cell phone away.
I can give you that answer. Pick me.
Good job. Exactly. And you know what else? You model it. So maybe your house's rule, if it's you know, doable is everybody park your cell phone on the counter at 6:30, 8 o'clock, whatever it is, and that's it for the night. You know, you're not text messaging and calling friends or taking calls unless you have, that's your work setup, of course, and that you model that and you tell them why, because it's part of balance also, and balance is such an important health skill for us as well.
Oh, it is. So the whole issue of, have you read this book called the Lesson of the, I'll get you the name in a second, but it's a book about letting your kids fail. And
oh, I was hoping you'd let me say the F word on air.
Fail?
Yes.
Yes, letting your kids fail. Okay. One of my difficult things, I'm good at it, but only after I run my head under cold water.
Okay.
Okay, because, you know, that hovering thing is a little bit. So what do you do? How do you talk to parents about hovering?
Okay, so this is what we do, and that's why I said the F word, because one of the things that I was thinking about in coming here today is, gosh, I wonder if we'll be able to talk about let your kid fail, because I think it's important. You know that I feel like it's very important that in high school especially, when we're talking about academics, it's their last chance at free and public education, perhaps. This is their last chance in your house. And so if they don't learn their lessons when they're here with you, we're going to release them out into a world and in some cases pay many, many thousands of dollars for them to go somewhere and then face failure, and they don't know what to do with it. Not to say that they won't have those challenges later on if they do them now, but rather they won't know how to deal with it. And the very worst of it is that that becomes a mental health problem for them also.
Yes.
So what you do is, you're not alone again. So maybe they're going through this failure, but you let them. You don't let you don't take over. That is the worst case, is when the parent takes over, because the child didn't learn how to self-advocate. The child didn't learn that figure it out skill. But it doesn't make it easier necessarily for you. And I think, you know, stop running your head under cold water. Come in to consult. Maybe it's the school counselor. Maybe it's the teacher. But you come into my office and we shut the door, and perhaps this time without the student, and talk about the ins and outs of this and when is it appropriate to step in. Because I think, of course, you are your child's number one advocate. But what about when you're not there? They've got to step up to be their own number one advocate also. And that's why it's so important to let them fail and have that figure it out skill.
The name of the book is The Blessing of a Skinned Knee. And then the next book that she wrote is The Blessing of a B minus. And I'll send you that information. It's a great book. So, yeah, I do think that we live in a society where we're so afraid that our kid isn't going to get into college that we yell and scream and abuse our kids verbally, but then we go to school and try to get teachers to change our kids' grades. And I've seen it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So have you seen that?
Yes, some of that stepping in where it's not necessary. But and here's what we're missing, too, is that you're going to go and yell and scream and go to the college and have them change the grade. And it's just not going to fly that way. And that's not what's important. The lesson is important, and that your child knows how, because then, all right, let's say that the colleges do start to take phone calls from mommy. I promise you that the employers aren't, and that could get in the way of a job. Absolutely.
So one of my favorite questions is, what are the kids whining about most often? What are they, Mrs. Keating, what are they whining about?
So what aren't they whining about? But that's not fair, because karma is, you know, it's coming back to get me. As a recovering whiner, it's a little bit of everything. And truly, what aren't they whining about? That's all part of it. A lot of times it could be relationship issues. I have the best job to teach me patience. I guess I ask God for patience, because this is how he teaches you patience. He tests it. But I can have, you know, I got a B minus on my biology test to, we just broke up and he was the love of my life. Yes, I met him last Thursday. To some really heavy things, like my parents are going through a divorce. My father's terminally ill. Hospice moved in last night. What does that mean? And so the best thing is that kids are coming to us and encourage that. You know, they're not alone. You're not alone as parents either. And that's all I tell the kids, as long as you're not going to hurt yourself or hurt someone else, we can have a Vegas moment. And you come in here and we talk it out. And not to say that I'm going to be able to step in and fix everything all the time, but maybe they learn that therapeutic tool. And we say, we leave it here because you have a job to get to. You've got to go back to biology class now. But learn that skill to get you through the workday, also in adult life.
What do you think about this? Because it's such a tough call, and I talk about things with parents all the time in my career, in my regular work life, and also my friends. And I have different beliefs and thoughts than they do, and about things like not having a television in a child's room. We don't have televisions in our rooms.
Uh-huh.
That we don't use our computer in an isolated place in the house so that you can go and live, you know, be so separate from the family.
Right.
That we just got cable last year, and I really rue the day I gave in on it. And because I feel like I want my kid to be present with the family, A. B, I don't want there to be such time sinks in their life. And my friends have very different views about getting caught up in the greater culture. So what are your thoughts about some of that?
That was exactly it. You want your kid to be present. You want to be present. You know, what I think about is the things that what would get in the way, because I find that communication is so important. Why do you need to be on the laptop computer by yourself in your room? You know, again, go back to, is it something that you wouldn't want grandma to see or what's going on? And not to say that you can't have if you're a natural introvert, your own time for reflection and any of that and your privacy, all of those are important. But if it lends itself to, again, not finding a healthy balance or perhaps finding some temptations and some other things, that's not good. You're modeling that. It's, again, part of that family time. I think that family time is very much cut into anyway with when your kids get older, they go to school. Then they get involved in activities. And we want all of that, of course. But then the time that you do have together shouldn't be, again, that zoning out in front of the television time. Engage them in conversation. Or if you're going to find a show that you guys can watch all together. I love that. I feel like it's been the return of the sitcom lately. And there's some really good, appropriate, you won't have those awkward moments of watching, you know, half-naked people on TV next to your mom. And you can talk about it and engage them in what's going on. Because I think that will prevent a lot of the other things that we were talking about at the beginning of our half hour.
If you have a kid who comes to you who really has an issue with drugs or or giving more of themselves sexually than they want to, or really doing very poorly in school, and they, what do you do? Do you refer them? What if they're, you know, how do you deal with that with their parents if you know bad things are going on? What do you do?
I personally very, very much believe in this partnership between home and school, between parents and the school. The parents are, of course, need to be in the know about things, as is appropriate for that family's makeup. But during the week, we see your child more, you know, during his or her waking hours. And so many times I will talk with the student. If it's something clear and imminent, then we do need to make some specific suggestions to families as far as this is what I believe, this is where you might go, suggesting that perhaps starting with your family doctor or your pediatrician as well. But my go-to is often to get the parent involved also.
Do you not have a degree of confidentiality with that child?
There is. And so, but at the same time, if the student has come to me and divulged this on some level, they're wanting some kind of help and they're seeing something. And many times we will, the student and I will come to the understanding that, yes, this is help, and who can help you to find access to help? Many times it could be the parent, and they want to tell their parent, or they want to involve them, because it probably is getting in the way of some other things that are going on at home anyway, and would help that relationship also.
Um, I I also wonder about how much you see issues around drugs at school.
I can't put my finger on it. Maybe it's my naivete, mm-hmm. myself, my own personally. But I can see, so not specifically, you know that I have a math background and I want to be able to quote some statistic for you.
Okay.
But I'm not able to, which is my own discomfort. But more what I see is these, unhealthy attitudes and behaviors, a lot of times having to connect students that might come out in discipline, which makes that if there's a discipline referral to kind of a county program about awareness also.
But you're not dealing with it in your face every day.
Not at all, no.
Which is interesting. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. We're talking to Valerie Keating today. She's the head of school counseling at a local school district. And we're talking about the ups and downs, the things that kids deal with as teenagers. And we're answering some just great questions. We're almost at the end of time, which is a shame. So I have a few more things I want to ask Valerie, and I hope she'll come back again another time. So here's my wrap-up question okay. here, okay? You seem to just love these kids.
I do.
And what do you think is the hope of this generation, Valerie? What do you think?
I think that is it. There is hope. There is so much, and the possibilities are endless for students. I work with educators who will often say to students, the job that you could have, we don't even know that it exists yet. So I'm alluding to technology and innovation, of course, and I think that that's hopeful because what we can do with our students is nurture that imagination and creativity. And the more that we can do that and working with others, and that question from the caller about what's the good part of social media, the connections that you can make with people, but don't let it substitute for connections with people also. All of that technology.
You mean in front of you.
Exactly. Use it to help others in a good way. And that's what I think is the hope of them. They're young and everything is open to them. They'll come in and say, I'm interested in such and such. I think, oh, me too. Go do it and come back and tell me about it.
So for you, the hope is seeing their promise. And my hope as I listen to you is that there are more people, who more educators who have the kinds of open and spontaneous and excited countenance that you do. Because all I hear is, constantly about teenager and is it about doing this and doing that and the ups and downs and all of their drama. And in truth, kids have drama. Their brains are not formed yet. They're impulsive. There's so much to get into. And I definitely believe that they pick up on your excitement, whether you're an educator or a parent. Mm-hmm. And we have a responsibility to help to teach our kids balance and hopefulness and give them a place to talk about the things that are painful for them. And I really think that it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming today. I do hope you'll come again. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. And next week, we are going to continue to highlight issues about adolescence. We're going to talk about cyberbullying next week. And I hope that we've talked about this before. We're going to continue that conversation. And I hope that you'll tune in and listen to me again at 1 o'clock on Thursday. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry.